For this episode of the Firebirds Fan Zone, we'd like to extend a very special thank you to our friends at the Classic Club for allowing us to record in one of their amazing banquet rooms while our regular set is being repaired. The facility here is breathtaking and the staff are absolutely top-notch. To be sure, this is definitely a golfer's paradise. Thanks, Classic Club. We appreciate you. The Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is brought to you by Kyle Garman Realtor. Whether you're buying or selling, whether for your forever home or that quiet desert vacation getaway, Kyle Garman and the team at Keller Williams have the experience and skill to make the process simple and convenient. Check them out today at kylegarman.kw.com. Our podcast is also brought to you by DesertDefenseLawyers.com, DUI and criminal defense throughout the Coachella Valley. The criminal justice system is scary and confusing, but relief is just a click away at DesertDefenseLawyers.com, where we've been keeping folks out of the penalty box since 2008. The Coachella Valley Firebirds are bringing the Valley closer together, and the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is your weekly dose of everything Firebirds. If you have suggestions for guests or questions you'd like answered or anything you want to add, be sure to leave them in the comments. If you like what you hear, please remember to hit that like button for this episode and be sure to subscribe. So if you're ready, here we go. Let's get into it. 3, 2, 1.
Firebirds goal!
Scoring his 13th goal of the playoff.
The captain, number 17, Max McCormick.
Assisted
by number 19, Cameron Hughes.
Welcome to the Firebirds Fan Zone with your hosts, David and Kyle.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's strong. All right, we're rocking and rolling, dude. This is how fast it goes. It's already been a week since our last recording. I don't even know what episode this is, but
it doesn't matter.
I do know
it doesn't matter
that this is an insanely special day.
Dude, this is a good day
because we've got a champion in the house. We got a Pacific Division champ in the house,
right?
In Matt Tennyson. And listen,
I'm so excited.
You remember Tenny talks well. She was on the other foot now, so
yeah, you're in the hot
it's
seat.
On.
I love it.
But yeah. As always,
yes.
And mind you, it's going to be a little short because we're on borrowed time. He's got a plane to catch.
Mm-hmm.
Gracious enough to come join us.
Yep.
But first things first.
Guys, thanks again for supporting the show. I'm going to make it quick because he does have a plane to catch. But you guys have been awesome. Again, our goal for Christmas, 300 subscribers. Let's hit that goal. But again, thank you for your support. Love seeing you out the arena. Keep coming up. Keep saying hi. Give the feedback. We're truly appreciative of you. Thank you guys so much.
Now moving right along.
Let's go.
Dude, all right. So have you seen the show at all? Probably not.
I haven't, no.
Okay, good. Well,
I'm not a big social media person in general.
Not to worry.
I have a private Instagram that I don't really use
anymore. I know. I tag you all the time.
I know. I've messaged you 100 times. I've not gotten one response.
No. So, I know. It's not personal.
It's definitely not personal.
It's okay.
I had one of, actually, Pipes was asking me the other day. He's like, hey man, I followed you a year ago. What's the deal? And I pulled up. I have
over where is that? I don't know. What is this?
Why are you not on social so much?
I just never was. Really? It was never something I was super interested in.
Other stuff to do, right?
Well, it also just felt forced to me. I was always been just kind of a little bit more private in my personal life. And I don't know. I just playing hockey and doing other things.
Let's bust that privacy for a second.
Yeah.
We always start when we've got players or, people that have been in around hockey for a long time. Take us back to the beginning, man. Where did you start? How did you start? Who the hell are you?
Yeah. So I've had quite an interesting childhood and growing up playing. I was born in Minnesota. I lived there till I was six. My dad's job, he worked in retail management for a few different companies. He worked for Dayton Hudson, if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
Out of the Midwest. He worked for Kohl's for a while, just headquarters, merchandising sales. So we moved around a little bit as a kid. I was born in Minnesota, lived in Michigan.
Where in Minnesota?
Twin Cities.
Right on.
Chanhassen, if you know that. And then we moved to Michigan for a couple of years, Wisconsin for 6 or 7 years, then California for 10. I lived in Northern and Southern California.
That's right.
LA, okay. Orange County. So I've kind of been all over the place.
You got a good diverse.
What's your favorite?
Yeah.
Growing up.
They were all very different. Mm-hmm. And different, aspects of my childhood, I think.
Where'd you go to high school? What area?
So I went to three different high schools.
Oh, geez.
Oh, wow.
I was a freshman in high school in Wisconsin. That was my last year in Wisconsin. We moved to California, Northern California, in Pleasanton, and I did 2 years there. And then I was in juniors So I was moving around for that. So three different high schools, but I ended up graduating from high school from my California high school with all my boys from California. So
right on.
So yeah, I've had quite the childhood, I guess, growing up. But being born in Minnesota, everybody, you know, learns how to skate on the frozen ponds. And
how
that's
old
just,
were you? Let me guess, four.
Yeah, three or four. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to exactly remember when it was, but it was just like that's what you did. All the neighborhood kids would get together, and the parents would, you know, shovel the snow off the lake, and kids would buzz around, and that's just what you did. That's how you learned how to play. So,
when did you start actually? You know, I get tooling around on the on the lake, but when did you know first put on the uniform and.
Yeah, when I moved to Wisconsin, that was kind of the more like youth focus, like where I really established myself as a hockey player, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I was there from fourth grade till my freshman year in high school, and that's just kind of
same group of kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same group of kids, same youth program the whole time. So Arrowhead, shout out if anybody's there. So that was how I got my start.
And did you just know right away this was it for you?
No, actually, I played a ton of sports growing up. I didn't. I always loved hockey, but I always loved sports in
what
general.
What were you playing?
I played literally everything.
Like
I played
basketball, baseball, football.
I mean, yeah, like all youth, like through my schools. Yeah, I played.
What was your other sport that you were falling in love with outside of hockey?
Golf was a big one. I was a big tennis player because of my mom. My mom plays still now,
really?
Like almost every day. She's in like. Three or four different tennis leagues.
Oh, and that's not easy, you know.
No.
I've learned, especially as you get older, it's tough on the body. It's harder than people think.
Tough on the body, yeah.
No, the knees, probably.
And elbows and shoulders, man. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, but she enjoys it. Obviously, being here in the sunshine, it's hard to complain. So,
is she a four, five?
She plays 3-5 and four. She's yeah, she's pretty good.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, she's been playing her whole life, basically.
Wow,
so,
that's cool, man.
She's so I played tennis growing up. I'm actually gonna go play.
What are you?
Play tennis before I. I don't know. I have no clue. No, I'm pretty good. I don't want to toot my own horn.
We'll give you a three and call it good.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
Three.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe 3-5. I don't know.
I love it.
I haven't played against anybody competitively like that for a long time. I usually just play with buddies or my mom.
Guys, you know, you're better than, so you can, you know.
Actually, I prefer when guys are better than me because
challenges
it just
you.
Yeah, it helps like raise my game and
right
I feel like I, you know, when you play with people that are I don't know what kind of tennis players you are, but when guys
horrible?
Are just, you know,
less.
Throwing meatballs over the net at you, you know, it's a little harder to play like a serious not competitive match.
I never could, like, I don't think I have the hand eye coordination for tennis.
I screwed around a little bit, but I worked in a country club when I first moved here, and I had to learn that culture, and there is definitely they never play down.
No,
tennis players will always play up.
No,
and they prefer not to play down ever. It's just it's a real thing. And so
I'd rather, you know, get my butt kicked.
You can say whatever you want. It's
okay,
podcast, all right.
I'd rather get my ass kicked by somebody that's better than me.
Yeah,
because then you walk
personally
a little bit
because
better, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm sure that was like that in hockey for you, right? Were you playing up? A lot of times, or were you playing with your peers?
You know, youth for me was kind of just, I was always a late bloomer in general for hockey. I was undrafted, so I played where whatever teams I made, I was never.
Well, you played D1 in college, though. I mean, that's
no.
Was it Western Michigan, right?
I just mean in general, like kids nowadays are like getting drafted and going to these junior teams at like 14, 15 years
it's
old,
ridiculous.
And
I
had no idea what I was doing, where I was going to college. Like it was just again like a little bit slower developing career for me.
But do you think that helped? Do you think that gave you any kind of advantage because you got to develop more? Focusedly, if that's a word,
go with it.
Maybe. I don't know. It's. I think though, back to, you know, other sports that I played, I think that really contributed to, you know, hand-eye coordination and just learning different types of sports and, you know, how to play and work with other teammates and stuff like that. Mm. So, I think it's an interesting dynamic now where kids get locked into one sport at such a young age. I
can't be good, right? I mean, who am I to say what's good or bad? But it seems like the diversity, you get more value in one thing by having having exposure to so many others. It seems like it would make sense.
I think so too. And I feel like kids now get burnt out pretty easily. Like, when I was a kid, it was all seasonal sports, right? So you played you played hockey during the winter, you played golf in the summer, and whatever. Now I feel like it's a year-round thing, even when you're a kid. Yeah. So it's a lot more intensive as far as like the work and what's expected of kids, and I think that can mentally be a challenge for some guys.
So touching on that, because Rikes was in the chair. He came on here and he was talking about, because he's a young kid, you know, and he was talking about his experience being drafted, not having that additional pressure of being, you know, one of the highest draft picks. And so he talked about how those guys literally a lot of times will get that extra pressure, and it takes away from the joy of what they're doing.
For sure.
And, you know, I talked to my neighbor who his son played professional baseball, had a great career at it, and his daughter was an Olympic figure skater. Okay. And so, you know, his mindset, and he still coaches, he's 70 and he still coaches baseball. It's sweet. Amazing.
Wow. That's
awesome. Guy's awesome. I aspire to be him, but I'm going somewhere with this. And the fact, you know, would you then with the people watching and listening, would you advocate that we need to be more careful with our youth around putting that much pressure and that much intensity in that year round sport? Like you were saying on our kids, because of what it can do?
I think that, I mean, that's how I feel personally, just because that was my experience. I know, you know, times have changed now and it's very different, but I think having the kid be able to experience a bunch of different sports and then deciding for themselves what is best and where they maybe fit in or don't fit in, or what they like better or not. They might be better at one sport but like another sport better. It's just, that's the way it is. So I think you know, I have a lot of buddies now who do run camps in the summer for hockey, and it's just like I was saying, it's a year-round thing now where you're expected to do these things, and if you don't, maybe are you losing a step on the kid that was doing it year-round? I don't know, but
as a kid, I mean, ought you even be thinking about that? I mean, for me, as a parent of a student athlete, I just wanted her to have fun.
Yeah. 100%.
Right? She was pretty good at it, but I just wanted her to have fun.
Yeah.
When you were coming up, though, you know, peewees and then, you know, more formal youth hockey and even into juniors, did you see parents that were just hardcore, overbearing, you know?
For sure.
Well, hockey parents, though, we've talked on the show about this.
Right?
Yeah, we've talked about this on the show. Yeah. Multiple guests who sat there, and the hockey parents are a different breed altogether.
For sure.
Because they assume they're all going to the pros.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want the best for your kids, and I think, you know, maybe that comes into play sometimes where you're, like, maybe a little bit overzealous on what your kid's doing or not doing, or trying to be, you know, too controlling over what,
like the
you know,
what they're
in.
The parents that didn't make it wanted to make it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think you get that in a lot of sports.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it sounds like your parents weren't like that, right? It sounds like they let you just do your thing and get good at, you know, which benefited.
Yeah, they were great. They just kind of let me do my thing and decided for myself what I wanted to do. Obviously, you know, as you get older, you have to make decisions on, you know, timing, and you get to a certain point, obviously you have to decide. And, you know, if you're good at one sport, like, is that the sport that I want to continue
on? Well, when did you know that? When did you decide, like, okay, hockey's going to be my thing. Like, I'm not going to go get a Joe job. I'm going to go. This is what I want to pursue. Like, when in your life did you do that? And then how did you mentally prepare for that?
So, I mean, it was my freshman year in high school. I played on the hockey team for my high school in Wisconsin. And I also played on the JV golf team.
Nice.
So I was kind of like, I really want to play golf, but I really like hockey. And it got to a point where, you know, in the summers and during the golf season, there was other hockey things going on. So I had to make a decision. Was I going to pursue golf? Was I going to pursue hockey? And I think I made the right choice.
You did a good job. Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Good job.
What was the decider?
Who knows, though? It was just, my parents told me, they were like, you have to pick one. Like, you just don't have the time. I was just more, at the time, I was more passionate about hockey. I was better at hockey. I had more friends in hockey. It was just, you know, again, something I had been doing my whole life. Where same as golf.
Team, but, too.
Yeah, it is. I was always more of a team sport guy. That's, again, kind of like why I didn't enjoy tennis as much too. I tried to play competitive tennis like 7th, 8th grade, I think, and that just like wasn't really for me. Kind of same with golf. It's just, I mean, you're on a golf team, you're on a tennis team, but it's
but they're all really, playing their own games. Yeah. You just talk about it after. You're not
exactly.
You know, depending on one another for success.
Plus, there's a bond. You know, everybody,
for sure.
The guys that, who sat in this chair, again, we had Cole, we had Reich, and, you know, everything they keep saying, and we'll get into this in a minute.
And that other guy, Grant something.
A Grant Fury. Furious? Something like that, yeah. It was always about the bond, you know, and the guys. I could see, especially like with Grant, you know, he talked, and Riker did too, but so did Cole, I guess. But there's a look that you guys have about that camaraderie.
For
it's
sure.
The guys. It's not just what you're doing on the ice, but it's everything outside of that as well.
Yep.
And it sounded like you guys had a great time in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. We were actually talking about Grant Fuhr, we talked about that on the broadcast. We were talking about our success from last year, and you know, being in Seattle, forcing everybody to be close to each other. Mm-hmm. We were all in a hotel in Seattle, whereas like guys now, they all live all over the valley, right? So it's outside of the rink, outside of practice, outside of being together there, it's a much harder, you know, guys might live 30 minutes apart, and it's,
do you think that was the thing for you guys last year?
I think that was a piece of it, and then also the adversity of, you know, not being able to play at home for 20 whatever games it was, and playing out of a practice rink for our first like four home games or whatever that was. So I think that piece of it, the camaraderie of, you know, going through those things together, it really helped mold the beginning of our season. For
well,
sure,
ask year. Your question, dude. Ask it. December 18th.
Yeah, well, I want to know, before we get into that, who was your roommate?
For what? On the road?
On the road last year.
Jimmy Schultz.
So Schultz was your roommate in Seattle while you guys were going through?
Oh, no. We had our own.
Oh, okay.
My wife was there.
Oh, cool.
We had one of our dogs. We have two dogs.
So you had your own private.
Yeah. Everybody had their own situation going on. It wasn't like
with the guys.
No, that's just on road trips.
Okay, so Schultz was your guy.
He was my guy. Yeah, okay. And Eddie Witkow. He was. It kind of like it changes as, you know, guys are either hurt or not on the trip, or some guys get called up, and then obviously your roommates change. But those two guys were the consistent.
December 18th, you guys have been on the road. You've been living in Seattle. You've played in a couple different venues. I mean, I heard you were playing at. I mean, you didn't even play at Climate. Like, it was, there was a lot of different rings.
We had one game at Climate.
Yeah, which is
like
crazy.
Kirkland
to me.
Iceplex or something like that. Yeah, right.
Exactly. And I'm from that area. So it was kind of cool to watch you guys. You know, I'm here in the Coachella Valley, and I know, like, the I-5 corridor is like my home. Like, I know up and down. So wherever you guys went, I was tracing you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are they not playing at the arena? But it wasn't my, whatever. So December 18th, you guys finally get to come home. And you're there. What was that like coming? Because we don't need to ask you what you thought of the Valley, because obviously you said you've been here, and I know you got your parents hanging out here, right?
First night in your new house, man.
What did you think
was going to happen, and then what actually happened?
Yeah, I think we got down here to start practicing like mid-November. Mm-hmm. So we were here for a good month out of the practice rink, and we had kind of seen the building and kind of built up the excitement ourselves. But absolutely incredible. Like, nobody knew what to expect as far as the fan base was concerned. We didn't know, you know, who was going to show up, if we were going to continue to be successful, if they were going to continue to get fans. And, you know, obviously it's been amazing. We had a successful year, and seeing the sold out crowds, obviously it's one of the
on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, exactly. You get a lot of snowbirds here, which is a really good market. There's a lot of people from Calgary, Vancouver, Minnesota is a big one. My grandparents have been coming here since the 80s, which is why my parents are now.
That's so cool. Here, yeah, I know. We heard retired, that story, and it's like, dude, that's awesome.
So I think that is a big contributing factor to why there was so much attention on us. And obviously there's no other sports teams here, so it's a pretty natural fit. So I'm not surprised, but obviously we had no idea what to expect, and couldn't be happier with how it turned out.
Yeah. That energy, what was that like for you guys?
It's,
you
know, honestly,
you're
out there,
warm-ups, you're doing your thing, right?
It reminded me of an NHL atmosphere, honestly.
Really?
It's, and so honestly, cool. You know, not to shit on anybody, but better than some NHL
You don't have to tell us, dude. We know. We watch the broadcast from other places, and it's
not. He's saying better than the NHL. Some of the NHL
cities.
Love that even more.
Yeah. At least as far as like the passion from the fans and just the turnout. I mean, the building is incredible. There's not many buildings, you know, that I've played in this.
It's special.
It's really special.
It's unique. They did a great job. They knew they were very, very focused, very, very purposeful. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. The Lewickies know. It's not their first rodeo. Yeah.
They're dialed in.
Yeah, exactly.
They're dialed in.
When you stepped, okay, so December 18th, the lights go down, the hype video, all that, and it's time for you guys to come out. The flames are going.
Yeah.
You step out on the ice. You had not seen the crowd, other than war, you had not seen the crowd. Like, what was that like for you?
Just electric. It was, it obviously brought our energy up, and we felt the energy from the fans, so we wanted to play better. Oh. And the better you play, the better or more the fans are into it. And mm-hmm. so I think feeding off of the energy from the fans and our excitement to be finally home, like you said, you come out of the fire and it's just the crowd's going nuts. And
yeah.
You got those red whatever.
The glow sticks.
Banging together.
Yeah, got mine. Man. You got I got mine. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. Closet full,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, serious.
Come on.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think that was definitely also an intimidating place for teams to come in.
Because, I agree.
Because they haven't experienced that and they're obviously against that team. They're out rooting for us. Yep. And so it can definitely be an intimidating place to come in. And I think we took advantage of that pretty well.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the, I mean, we're going to jump around a little bit, but clearly there was some kind of magic dust over this season, but I don't know what it, like, what was it or what, it was different.
Can't even put your finger on it.
Yeah. I mean, what was it for you guys?
It's hard to say. Every season is so different. And I think, obviously the management did a great job of putting together the right players, and they did their part to put the right group of guys together, which is, you know, an art form in itself, because, you know, every year there's so many different factors that go into who is on what team and mm-hmm. what makes up that team. We were very fortunate to not have a ton of guys going up to Seattle. Ooh. So we had the core of our team was very strong and consistent.
Yes, I agree.
Whereas this year I feel like, you know, Seattle is one, not doing as well as, you know, probably expected.
They've been dipping into the pool here quite a bit.
And then they've had injuries, right? Yeah. So they're dipping into our best players.
Yes.
And that's, you know, contributing to maybe less goals or
I agree.
Or whatever it is. So I think we were fortunate to not have injuries and not have guys going up to Seattle. So that same core group stayed together and built that same camaraderie and consistency together, which is very important.
I'll bet. You know, most people probably don't know this, but you had a pretty long and pretty storied career. You played for some good teams. You got some good NHL time. Mm-hmm. So you've seen a lot of atmospheres. You've had a lot of different chemistries.
Yep.
What about, and I for one am grateful that we got to see you and be part of this. What was different though? I'm not even sure how to ask this, but like chemistry wise, or what was different about this team than any of the others you've played for? And you've been, I mean, you've played for some legit big boy teams.
But like I said, I don't really know if I can point one or two things out specifically. I think, like I was saying, I think bringing in the right group of players that have the right attitude, mm-hmm. that, you know, are good guys and really want to work hard to be on a winning team, I think is a big contributing factor, because the teams that I've been on that aren't good, which I've been on plenty of those, you know, it's more about individuals and how can I better my career. And it wasn't as much a cohesive team game. And I don't know why, but we just came together and we knew that one, that we could win and that we all believed in each other to win. So
I think that's the secret ingredient.
It really, yeah.
You guys are playing for each other.
Exactly.
And that brotherhood through Seattle, being on the road. Mm-hmm. I think, and what you're saying is, like, there was no egos.
For sure, yeah.
It's a new team. It's a new situation. It's all new for everybody. It's like kind of we're just going to go out and discover this thing together. And then that brotherhood through being on the road, it was like, I don't know. I call it lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
It literally was one of those moments where, all the right ingredients have to come together at the right time for it to do exactly what it did.
Exactly.
And then, you guys, you know, you guys were so impressive. I think the thing that, you know, I really enjoyed watching, and I know Dave did too, and everybody out there watching this too, is, you know, there's been so many great games that were played last year.
Yeah.
Overtimes. It was all this bend but don't break.
Yep.
type of stuff that 100%. We saw, and all those wins at home. I'm not going to bring up what's happening right now because it's so early. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not even black clouding any of this. I'm just saying, you know, from last season when we watched it, every game was amazing. We walk out of there just like, oh my God, that was incredible. You guys had this intangible to show up in the big moments.
Yep.
Score the goal that needed to be scored. You know, shut it down. Joey did a great job of being that solid goalie, shutting it down when it needed to be shut down. Like, you guys just stepped up.
Yeah.
Like, that was impressive to me. And did you know that in your locker room? Like, and then that part of that culture?
Yeah, I think it was just the belief that we knew no matter what the score was, we were always in it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know that the second period this year has been a big touching point for a lot of people. But, you know, we were down in second periods 2-3 goals last year. And we're like, we're going to go out there and, you know, if we give our best effort, we have a chance to at least get to overtime and see what happens. So,
and you guys did.
And we did.
Man, you did it so many times.
You know what? And that's sometimes is just like the way the puck goes too.
That's true.
There's been some bad bounces, obviously. the game on Saturday, you know, the goalie gets hit and bang, it goes in. But we have the lead going, whatever, two minutes left in the game or whatever it was. But
we were just talking about that before you got here. You know, that felt more like last season, like the atmosphere, the team, the play, all of it together. I think, like you said, it was just a weird, you know, a sequence of events. And our goalie goes down and that, you know, the refs don't, you know, pick up on it. Like, our goalie's injured. He's knocked out.
Yeah. The guy's not moving. He's not even trying. Yeah. I don't want to.
Yeah.
We're not going to use this platform to say anything about that. But you on social media, you know how I feel about it. There's no mystery. Now that you're, and I we're going to bounce back and forth, but watching your team from a different vantage point now, what are you seeing? Because I know in your mind you have to be doing comparisons. That's just natural. We all do. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing that is either different, better, not as good? What's it look like to you from your new vantage point?
Definitely different. And like I brought up before, every team, every year is going to be different, right? So there's always guys, especially when you're on a successful team, there's going to be guys that leave, guys that go to other teams, guys that are unrestricted free agents that you don't sign the same guys. It's just impossible. And there's always then the guys that were draft picks that are coming in as younger guys that those guys need to get time. Those guys need to develop. And, you know, Seattle always wants those guys to be playing and developing, and for those guys to develop, they have to play and they have to learn, they have to make mistakes, and that's just the growing process of the minor leagues.
But the same was true last year, right? You guys had to make mistakes, and the rookies, the new guys, had to do their thing. And
for sure, I think though last year we had more not established guys, but we were maybe relying less upon some younger players.
A newer team, but not a younger team.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Okay. And I don't know if that's a contributing factor or not, but that's from what I see is just a different group of guys. And like I was saying, with the injuries and having, you know, Potsy, Maxi, Studs, you know, you got some top scoring that's been missing from games in the lineup. And
it sure is nice to see him up, though,
It is, of course, of course. Yeah, and you want the best for those guys, of course, because they've earned their opportunity to go play in the NHL, and that's what everybody in this league wants. As much as, you know, we want the Firebirds to do well, the end goal is to play in the NHL.
Absolutely.
And so it's hard to you know, separate those two things because obviously you want to have a winning team and a successful team. But at the same time, when, you know, Seattle needs players and those guys get those opportunities, they're always taking your best players.
Yep.
Right.
Did you watch last night?
Seattle? No, I didn't watch. No.
Dude, Max had a fire in his eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen.
He wanted to be there.
Well, he's always got a little fire to his game. Yeah, so
for sure.
I think at some point we're going to get him in the chair, and I want to look him in the eye and have this conversation one day, you know, because he seems like a different guy.
He's a true competitor.
Yeah,
and love that. Not only for the Firebirds, but when he gets his chance to play in the NHL, like, you know, in here, he's going to give 100% effort all the time.
I've never seen him give less.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've never seen you give less either. I can't think of, well, I can think of one player that was inconsistent, but the rest, I'm not going to name him because it's going to hurt his feelings, but he's gone now. But
all right, man. Sorry, all right, man. No, it's okay.
But along that vein, sorry to of the players that we've lost, who's the most critical loss to the team, but who's the most beneficial gain of new players? Like, if we can spot that.
yeah, that's a tough.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, you painted in the corner. Good job.
I would say probably two or three guys. Obviously, Dax is a huge loss as far as, you know, his puck play as a goaltender is something that's pretty rare to see.
Yeah.
It's almost like having a third defenseman back there, being able to come out of his crease, play the puck, be, I mean, he's so dynamic with the puck as a goaltender.
It's crazy.
You just don't see that. So that's
well, he's always wanted to be an offensive player, right? Like he was.
Yeah, he's. I mean, yeah,
it's in there.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's a huge piece of it for me, at mm-hmm. least seeing the team. Not to say that our goaltending is bad. It's just
no,
it's
not at all.
It's different, and being able to break the puck out and spend less time in your zone.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know, that's the best defense. Or best offense is a good defense because you're not playing in your own zone. So
yeah, right.
Being able to have somebody where, you know, the team dumps the puck in, the goalie goes back and stop it, can rip Ooh. It to the forward quick, and you're out of the zone.
That's like, true. Yeah. Not spending a lot of time on
it. If the goalie stays in the net and then the DS will go break it out and maybe it gets stuck on the yellow and then, you know, it's a little 50-50 puck and then you're kind of battling for 30 seconds. Then the forwards are tired. Mm-hmm. Then they got to change. And then, you know, so it's just those kind of things that, you know, having a good puck moving goaltender really can change your team.
Sure.
I think.
Good insight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. Froden was a big player for us.
Yeah, I think he doesn't get enough accolades.
I agree.
For yeah. what he's done, and then like he goes off to Finland, I think it was, or he went to Europe to go play.
Sweden, I think.
Yeah, he was. But he was. I think he didn't get enough.
He's a really good player.
He's a really good player.
Really underrated. Yeah. But just a knack for scoring and playmaking. Mm-hmm. I think Truzy, another guy that's just he was a big body that.
He's a big drink of water, that one.
A big body, and you know, I think it's just it's hard to pinpoint one or two guys that, you know, every year.
Sure. How about the new guys?
Who's
got your attention this year, new guy?
You know, I always go back to like the D-man, and I really like Ottavainen. He's a sneaky, like underrated guy that I think is going to be a good player.
Agreed.
Again, that's a guy that needs to develop and he needs to play. And, but when I saw him come in last year, like you could tell right away, he's very mature for his age and, a right-handed big defenseman. That's hard to find a good player like that. So I think, like I said, those guys need to get in and play, get that experience, and, you know, there might be some growing pains, you know, for the first little bit, but once those guys, you know, start to establish themselves and learn, you know, how to play the pro game and maybe play more games than they're normally used to, coming, you know, from Europe, you're playing probably 30 more games a year, not including playoffs.
100 games.
Yeah. Well, we played 98 games last year. And I don't know what, because he played in Finland before. I think they probably play like 50 games. So that's a good one. Obviously, like the young draft picks, like Winterton.
Yeah, he's got our eye.
There's, you know, there's a lot of those players that are going to need to step up and perform. And,
agreed.
So I think as far as the new guys, Shorzy is a guy with a ton of experience, a ton of NHL games. And so if he can get some more scoring touch and help the offense that way, that's obviously a big add to maybe make up for Froden or somebody that's, you know, I think he had, what, 30 goals last year or close to?
I'm
not a big stats guy, but I know he had a lot. So.
He had a bunch.
Yeah.
What you're saying is really poignant because a lot of – we got spoiled. We use that term a lot on the shows. You know, we got spoiled by last season, and we're not even at December 18th yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't even been a year.
Yeah.
And what we're working out right now, you guys were working out on the road and no one was really paying attention. I'm not trying to say that in a bad way, but definitely you guys didn't have the attention of like what you have now.
Sure.
So when people are watching and they're seeing that and they're a little frustrated maybe because there's those
expectations
are here and there's this growth, growing pains that we're going through a little bit right now. Like you said, guys got to get on the ice.
Yeah.
They got to get out there. They got to get that feel. That continuity has to happen.
Yep.
That happened in some obscure obscure place called Washington State
yeah.
that nobody was really paying attention to. And then all of a sudden you show up and you've already gone through that.
Yeah.
Now, again, we're not even a year into this thing. Like, we're coming on it. Yeah. Our anniversary is coming. Yay. Yeah. But like you said, there's a lot of hockey yet to be played too.
Yeah, I think there's been, I mean, this is my first time back since the end of the year last year, but it seems like a lot of people are panicking about the home record, and I'm not exactly sure why, because
they don't know any better.
They don't know any better, but mm-hmm. but also if you want to try to compare where we were at last year to where we are right now, we didn't have like that good of a start last year. We were fairly.
Wasn't it right about the same?
That's what I'm thinking.
Your records were about the same.
Right.
Honestly, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was looking up something last night because my wife loves data. She loves numbers. Here's a fun fact, but Driggs actually has a better percentage than Joey did last year at this time.
Yeah. I believe
I
it.
Mean, we're not.
Driggs is an unbelievable goalie.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's not like, again, we got spoiled from what we were seeing. And everybody, I think, and what I remember is a lot of folks didn't really catch on to about the playoffs is when they started to really, really pay attention.
Sure.
And obviously by that time, we're at max capacity. The pedal's down. We're moving. So they think that was the whole season. Yeah. It's like, no. That's not it. So I think that's why you're hearing some of that panic is
for sure.
They're assuming that's the play that's going to be continuous. And well, it's not.
Well, there's ups and downs throughout every season. Yeah. Like there was times where we went on, I think it was a 10-game win streak or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then there was times where I think we lost like 5, 6, 7 games out of 10.
Yep.
And that's what happens.
Like it's hockey.
That's pro hockey.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can't win every game and you can't lose every game. It's just you got to find the consistency to be doing the right things every night to put yourself in the best position to win. And I think the coaching staff does a great job of managing, you know, expectations, and also when people are saying that you should be panicking, like, let's just settle down here.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, part of also the leadership, you know, having Maxi and Potsy and those guys to maybe settle those thoughts down and be like, all right, guys, like, look where we were last year.
Absolutely.
We still have a few games in hand this year. You know, you win those two games and you're still right in the top three, four teams, and anything can happen the rest of the way. So
that's right.
So hopefully they'll get we collectively will get that message.
Yeah.
Hopefully through this and through you then.
There's an understanding.
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
We're not even there yet. Yeah. We're scratching the surface.
Do the Aaron Rodgers, just relax.
Oh, the Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to go off left field real quick. Yeah. Okay, because you're a Minnesota guy, right? But you were also in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So where do you plant your flag?
So I don't have like an NFL team.
Really?
Because I have been all over the place. I played and lived in so many different cities.
Mm-hmm.
Like I played for Buffalo and the Pegulas, like, offered to have us out for all the Buffalo games. So
really,
I really just root for teams that I've lived in and cities that I've lived in. So unfortunately, it's like Lions, Packers,
nice.
Vikings.
Okay, yep.
Figured. Buffalo is a good one.
But a big rivalry is Green Bay, Minnesota. So when you're sitting
there
on Sunday and you're watching, who are you?
People are so like, oh, you have to pick one team. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I like
cares?
I like to watch football.
Yeah.
I care more about my fantasy team. Honestly,
I was just
going to
ask you, do you do fantasy?
Yeah. So I've been in the same fantasy league since college.
Awesome.
Wow.
How are you doing this year?
Almost 15 years I've been in the same fantasy league.
Are you doing all right?
Same guys. I'm 8-5. So I had Joe Burrow. And we can play two quarterbacks. So I had Joe Burrow and Richardson. They're both out for the year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's been a tough go for me.
Playoffs are coming up though, so hopefully your record will get you in the playoffs.
I just I need a quarterback though. And now it's slim pickings on the waiver.
How deep
wire,
is your team? So like, is it like 10, 12?
12 teams, and it's a deep. So I'm looking at like,
sorry,
Tommy Coldcuts or whatever they're calling him.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, there's been a lot of teams. Anyway, so but I love that. Yeah, because we do the same thing, and it's been a lot of fun this year.
I had to bench Mahomes. I brought Prescott up. He's doing
that.
Fantasy wise.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Much to my chagrin, my wife's mad at me. We argued about it for a minute, but
yeah,
she's over it. She'll be okay.
So, Okay, we're out here. By the way, we're out here at the Classic Club.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
this is where we are. So we've changed locations. We've had...
We had a flood at our usual place.
Unfortunately.
Our friends at Classic Club were very generous. We should have said that from the beginning.
I know.
Very generous to let us record from here. So thank you, Classic
Club.
That's
what you're seeing in the background. Yes. And speaking of golf and retirement, you know, now we've already touched on what happened last season. You know, and, you know, the guys... You know, here's one thing I don't know if you really know, and you probably do, but... You know, one of the biggest things that a lot of the guys wanted to do was win one for you.
Yeah.
You know, that was one, because they kind of figured maybe this was going to, you were coming to the end of your career, which maybe you can shed some light on how you came to that decision.
Yeah.
And, but they were really feeling like they wanted to win it for you guys. And, you know, that was the biggest heartbreak for a lot of them, especially those younger guys. Riker actually was really, he doesn't get emotional. The guy's monotone. We get that. And that's just his personality.
Like serial killer style.
But he definitely showed a little bit of emotion when he talked about you. He talked about some of the other guys, you know, and wanting to win it for you.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously it sucks to win or to not win and go out the way that we did because we were so close, go to game seven overtime. And yeah, I think a lot of guys knew that I was kind of considering retiring, and I've actually been dealing with back injuries for the last three or four seasons, so that's been a big contributing factor into the fact of why I'm not playing this year. It sucks, but that's sports. Somebody has to lose, somebody has to win, and we happen to be the ones that lost. And you know, obviously, I'm sure guys wanted to win for the older guys, that and maybe it was their last chance, but it is what it is. I can't go back and be like, oh, what if this, what if that. It's that's sports, and I've come to terms with the fact that we had a great team, and we built bonds that will never be broken, and we built a winning culture, hopefully, for years to come. So I think, you know, those things might be just as important as winning.
We've talked about a lot, just between two of us, we've talked about it a lot, and we've talked about it on the show, but, and without trying to get all, you know, emotional and Hallmarky about it, that last goal, now where we sit, we were like, you know, from here to each other from where that goal went in, and the initial you know, impression was like, what just happened, why are those guys throwing their gloves, you know. And then you realize, and then the initial flood of anger and pain and remorse and grief and all that kind of stuff, but the way you guys came to each other afterward, the way you consoled each other and supported each other, and the way that Joey, who I am sure felt in some way responsible, though clearly that was just a bad bounce, that was so impressive and motivational for us that as fans, in my mind, it sucks to lose, but I don't think anything bad happened, man. You guys, and I don't know if you knew this, gave us something so great that we never could have imagine, and I equate it over and over, sorry if it's getting old, to the first Rocky movie, man. If he had won the first movie, there would have been no sequels.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that he lost made that movie great. I think as much as I would love to have won, that loss, I think, brought us closer together. Am I crazy, or did you guys feel even remotely the same way?
I mean, I think we would have been even closer together if we would have won. I'm not going to lie, but... no, I think, you know, like I was saying, it's never easy to lose, especially in that fashion. And I think, you know, we had such a close bond because of how the season started and how, far we went playing 98 games together and going game seven overtime. Like, you talk about that when you're a kid, just, you know, messing around in the backyard, like game seven, game one, like that's overtime. What everybody wants to play in those games. And I honestly haven't even watched that goal back.
Neither have we. I haven't.
In my mind, I can still see it.
Well, my therapist is helping me with that.
It's hard to even like Jack and Coke. Think and remember what kind of emotions you go through after that. And you know, you guys see it more as fans, like to be able to watch you know, how that kind of unfolded on the ice. But obviously we were all super bummed. And just emotional that, you know, the season was over and we had felt like we had done enough to deserve to win.
You did.
More than enough.
And to then not win, you know, bittersweet, I guess, because, you know, you can look back and say, we really did do everything that we could.
Absolutely.
And we gave it our best shot, and it just wasn't.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We're bummed that we lost, but we are still, and I think I can speak for anyone, any Firebirds fan, are still so proud of each of you and the lot of you together.
Yeah, I think that's the conversation that in the off season that you probably don't hear, and the stories, like our friendship was solidified through the season. We didn't know each other until last season, and and then so we didn't meet until December 18th.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
And he had a passion, I had a passion, and then, you know, like most sections out here, we've talked on this, but you guys don't really know that story, and so that's why we love this show, because we get to let you in on our side of the glass, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I think in general, the response from everybody in the Valley has been just overwhelmingly positive. And, you know, I think that gives us as players a lot of joy that we could provide that. And, you know, to be able to go to the finals and do that, I think it shows, you know, what kind of character everybody had. And and to get that winning mentality established early on is huge for a new team and a new franchise. So, you know, we're pumped to be in the Valley, and we love all the support. We love the fans. They're all, no matter what, if we would have won, lost, like they were, couldn't have been nicer.
We were in it to win it, man, with you guys, no matter what.
They were ride or die, it seems like.
We were.
Which is,
for sure.
Well, I mean,
which is what you're looking for as players. Because the teams that have fans that are, you know, booing you when you're, you know, lose games.
Well.
It's just like,
my brain can't even.
That's not. That's not what you want.
Well, I mean, that's why when you guys got off the plane during the playoffs and we welcomed you guys home.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we just felt like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, we loved you guys. Yeah. And we still do.
Do you remember that?
Of course.
Did you even know we were going to be there?
I think there was like some rumblings that there was going to be some fans there, but we didn't know.
How crazy.
What was that
how
like?
Crazy. Yeah. Wild. I mean, super thankful that, you know, we have that many fans that were willing or wanting to come to the airport, you know, just to see us.
And it was not cold out, let me just tell you.
It was a little warm.
A lot.
And just show your support, which is, you know, one of the main things that we appreciate about all the fans in the Valley is just the overwhelming support all the time. And it doesn't go unnoticed.
Well, and it hasn't gone away.
Yeah, for sure.
Nothing's changed.
No, I'm not saying that it has.
Yeah, which is great.
As
I agree. It's one of those things. But so what are we doing now? Like, what is your – you were there broadcasting. You were on the broadcast booth with Grant. Yeah. You were there with Ev.
That was good.
And, what was that experience like for you? And, you know.
It was interesting, to say the least. I didn't really know what to expect. I only did one period, so I think maybe if I give it another shot, potentially next time I'm around, could be better, could be worse, who knows. But
are you gonna practice in the mirror?
No, definitely not. No, I just kind of go with the flow all the time. So it was fun though. It was a good experience, and I think fans like to maybe get some insight from different guys. I know Potsy was out last year, he jumped on a few times.
It was great.
It just gives another perspective maybe from some other voices.
That's how we feel fortunate having you sit with us and everybody else who sat there, because that's been the nut of the show has been to peel back the onion, and you guys you get to give your insight as to, you know, how it felt and looked like for you during last season, this season. Yeah. When you're in that broadcast booth, you get to speak to what's happening on the ice, what you're seeing different. Yeah. I mean, we pretend like we know what we're talking about. But
yeah, it's just say it strong enough with enough confidence.
Yeah, yeah, you just, but we really don't. We're faking it till we make it. But do you think there's a future in it for you?
We'll see. We'll see where the actual, like, broadcasting side of it goes. I don't know if, like, calling games is necessarily where I'm passionate, but I think I'm definitely going to try to be involved with the Firebirds in some way.
Awesome.
I would love that.
I think as far as like at least at the very bare minimum, like being around in the community and just helping out maybe with the youth programs.
That's awesome.
You know, just staying around and helping out where I can. And then, you know, on the flip side, being able to maybe help on the player development side, work with some of the D-men. And
that would be great.
Depending on where all of these things go is kind of a what if scenario right now. We have a house in New Jersey. My wife works out of New York City.
Okay.
And so being I'm not making money right now, she's the breadwinner. And so working out the scheduling and stuff, like we have no plans of living permanently in the Valley, but obviously with my family being here and I have strong ties.
Got a place to stay.
It's an easy back and forth kind of thing. So maybe working out some kind of schedule. I don't know. We'll have to see where that goes.
Be awesome. Well, I mean, you felt the reception in the building when you were dropping the puck, right?
Awesome.
I mean,
you're
loved here. I mean, did you realize that like, you would become? I mean, honestly, you're kind of a legend. I mean, you're one of the like because you were one of the originals and
OG. You're already
OG, man, and you're at that stage of your career now where you get to now have impact on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And what better place than right here? I mean, my God, we're watching you guys play golf. This is your passion. I mean,
like I said, this is a home away from home for me. I've been coming here since I was 1 year old.
Wow.
My grandparents had their first place in Mission Hills in the late 80s.
Yep.
And my parents have been living here permanently for 7 or 8 years now.
That's awesome.
So it's definitely an easy and natural transition to come back here and help out.
So cool.
So, yeah.
Did you ever imagine in all the times you've come visiting and whatnot that you would be part of a thing that brought the people together? And that's not just fluff. That's like, that shit, that really happened.
Mm-hmm. No.
And now you get to come back and give back to it. I mean,
who gets that
chance?
I honestly, never in a million years would I have ever expected there to be a professional hockey team here.
Right.
And then not only that, but to go to the finals with that team in my last year, it was very special and, you know, obviously something I'll never forget, but something that I want to maybe help continue to, you know, help future generations of players and Firebirds teams to have that success and know what it takes to win, know what it takes to prepare and to get, you know, guys that are younger that, you know, want their chance in the NHL to, you know, be ready for that opportunity when it comes.
It's so cool.
You got a lot of hockey left in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One way or another. And I hope it's here, you know. Hope it's close by.
Well, if it's going to be somewhere, it's going to be
here. I was going to say, it's not going to be in Buffalo.
There's nobody better than, like you said, I mean, this is your home away from home. So, I mean, to be able to have that kind of impact and you know the culture here, you've seen the Valley grow and it's only getting Acrisure and what you guys did brought more awareness to this Valley and more eyes are heading this direction. And I think this is more than ever going to be a destination spot. Beyond that,
I agree.
We're going to have more people all year round.
Yep.
You know, in my industry, I'm watching that happen,
for sure.
And so you're just another product of that. And I think getting in now and then creating legacy. And I think that's really kind of the end goal.
Yeah.
I think for all of us, but I think for you.
Yeah. I haven't really thought that deeply about it maybe yet. I think
I'll get there.
That's what we do.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah. Like coming fresh off, unofficially announcing my retirement. You know, I want to help in any way I can. Yeah. And I think, you know, being around the guys and trying to help them first and foremost be successful is, you know, where my focus is going to be, at least in the short term. And then, like I said, being in the community, supporting them like they support us and doing, you know, whatever I can to help grow maybe the youth program. I know, you know, there's some quiet talks about some more rinks potentially being built.
That'd be nice.
I know that Iceplex is very busy.
Yes.
And so hopefully as, you know, that grows and hopefully more ice rinks get built and we can create, you know, a destination like you said.
I think that's happening. And do you think coaching might be in your future a little bit in on some sort of capacity?
You know what? I've never been passionate about being a coach per se, as far as part of the reason also I wanted to retire is the fact that I had more control over my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So
like that.
not being able or not being forced to have to like, oh, I have to go to this city to coach this team or whatever that is. I think, you know, being more around in Palm Springs, in the Valley, I think that's would be more what I'm interested in. As
how about
far
a youth coach? Like,
well, that's kind of the same thing, though. Then you're traveling to different tournaments.
Dude, it's just as intense.
Probably worse.
It's just. And then you got the parents to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'll help out when I can. Or I don't know, you know, kind of how that would evolve. But again, I'm not, at least in the short term, I'm not planning on living in the Valley long term. Or full time, I mean.
Are you planning on doing another show?
There will be some more tennis talks.
All right. Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, dude, I loved it. Because we talked about that when we had Rikes here. And so that was really cool. And a great concept. I heard that was part of your brainchild.
Yes, that was me and Evan Pivnik.
Yep.
We were honestly just kind of bullshitting after a game in San Diego, I believe it was.
Over a couple of Michelob Ultras?
No, we were just, post-game, we were just in the meal room before we were getting on the bus, and we were just kind of throwing around ideas for, you know, different media things, and I kind of brought up the, like, Caleb Presley-style interviews where, you know, maybe it's a little bit more goofy and not as, like, a serious interview thing, which, you know, I don't think guys really want to do, like, the, you know, oh, we got to get pucks in deep and, you know,
I think this is probably more fun than
I think that's the niche of our show too, is
for sure.
We're not trying to analyze games over
God,
here.
No.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, that's kind of where the idea sparked from.
That's
and
awesome.
It was a little bit of an impromptu thing, whereas we didn't really have a great script for it. At the time,
neither
for the first,
yeah.
No, but I, as far as like what questions were going to be asked or the guests that were on, we didn't. I think we'll do a better job of
being a little more purposeful.
Exactly,
and mapped out.
Exactly.
Although there was one question that always got the same answer,
and we're here. So
and we're here,
dude.
So
bring it up.
What's up?
Let's go.
Why won't anybody let McKinnon date their sisters? Can you say?
You know what? You're gonna have to ask him that.
All right, okay. All right.
Because his daughter works here.
The cart girl.
She's the cart girl out here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. And
so I was giving McKinnon some shit.
He's a great guy. So
seems like a nice enough guy.
I don't know. Maybe they're just jealous.
I think everybody was also maybe saying like, I think we're going to set him up. So as
that
was going to be the repeated question. So they're like, okay, we're just going to hammer him. Who
I
knows?
Don't know.
Who
I
knows?
Don't know why.
I loved it, though.
That was the standard.
I thought it was great.
Though, for sure.
And I love your delivery. I loved the whole concept was great. Your delivery was really, really good. Having Riker sit in a pool.
Dude, whose
and
idea
do
was
nothing
that?
But just sit there and be him.
I don't know. I don't know exactly who did that. But we kind of tried to like take pieces from that show. And
it was good.
That Glennie Ball is like eating ice cream. So it was like, how can Rikes just be looking like an idiot in the background.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Didn't even practice.
It was good.
No, he's a natural at looking like an idiot. So that's perfect.
Hey, ask him to find you a number on a tape measure.
I don't know if you know that story.
No, I don't.
Look, I'm not trying to dog.
No, Rikes, we love you, man.
We love you,
Rikes. I think you're just kind of an easy target sometimes.
But he can't read.
I love
tape
you, man.
Measure.
I do.
That's all right.
Yeah,
he's good at hockey.
He's
so
good at
exactly. Oh, he's
good
great.
At hockey.
Yeah,
that's all he needs to worry about right
that's
now.
That's all he needs to do. Yeah,
exactly.
We've been told that we should probably appreciate him now while he's here because there's a good chance he's going to be up there.
He's not gonna be here much
he could be up
yeah.
there full time.
Yeah,
which I'm not overly surprised with. But so
I hate to be the guy that has to do this, but I'm looking at the clock and
I got time.
Oh well. You got time? I got time.
We were told that you were under a time restraint, and so we're trying to be very respectful of that.
Yeah.
What you got?
Rock and roll, dude. Keep and go. Disregard everything I just said. Keep going.
Good job.
All right, here's what – okay. Since we got time, I'm going to go back to this, right? It's probably not very widely known that you were the first San Jose Sharks youth team player to play for the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
That to me had to have been a surreal experience because I know that's what you must have been dreaming of while you were on their youth program. What was that about?
That was an awesome experience to play for San Jose. I played AAA for the San Jose Junior Sharks and played out of the same building that we had the our practice rink for the Sharks. So very, very cool, very humbled to have been the first one to do that. But yeah, it was, I was undrafted, so I was able to, out of college, be able to pick what team I went to. So I think the stars kind of just aligned that way. I think most people don't really get the opportunity to pick and choose where they go. So I think I was very fortunate to be able to be in that position. But yeah, amazing to be able to play there. And obviously kind of similarly to here, have a lot of the people know who I was and have friends in the area.
Because that's
and
that was very, your home, to Pleasanton, that was your hometown.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So I had a lot of friends that were still in the area. And yeah, it was just
a lot of people asking for tickets.
yeah, not asking, but more of me like being able to invite my friends, which is like, that's
the coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
right?
exactly. So similarly, like having my parents be able to come to all the games last year, it's like being able to have my buddies come.
How
to the
emotional
games there.
Is that when there awesome. You are, December 18th, right? You got mom and dad in the building.
Yeah,
I'm assuming at that point,
two most important people.
Yeah,
and they get to see you, and like that's our boy.
Yeah,
and you're here.
Yeah, like, I mean, for them, you know, they're my number one fans for sure.
Absolutely.
And just like any parent, I'm sure. Sure. But it's been obviously playing professionally all over the country. It's hard for them to see me live.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely watch the live feeds and all that.
That's
but
cool.
It's just not the same, right? You get to you have to wait till, you know, I was either playing in L.A. or whatever city that they were in, like
reasonably close.
Yeah, because I mean, other than the times that they would fly out to see me, the few times
it's
a year,
easy.
It's just it's just not easy.
Yeah.
And I played on a lot of East Coast teams, which is just makes it even harder. So to be able to play my last year in front of them
and
awesome. Have them at every game, and it was very special.
That had to
and
be emotional for them.
I think so.
Yeah,
super gratifying
for sure. And got to live with them in the playoffs after
so cool.
Because me and my wife rented a place, and then obviously we went so deep that I ended up.
There was a lot of folks.
Yeah, ended up
needed
bunking
new places
up back
to
at
go.
Home. Yeah,
it's a good problem to have, but all of a sudden, everybody's homeless, and
exactly.
You're like, oh crap, where do we go?
Exactly. Yeah. So very fortunate to be able to have them around, and again, it makes it even easier for the transition to. You know, being able to help out with the Firebirds, I have a place to stay when
How
I come
sick is
here,
that?
So,
I mean, dude, that's, again, I think you're one of those guys that, I don't say Tom Brady, but, you know, there's always those guys that have has the horseshoe.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, the stars are aligning. It sounds like the stars have been aligning in your life in a lot of different areas, because here you are. How many guys can say, I'm going to retire, and then, like, my parents live in, like, this perfect setting
paradise.
With a team that you just got done playing for, and you're like, I can give back, I can still be a part of, and I can have home cooked meals whenever I want, and a place to stay,
and
like,
the magic laundry basket.
Come on,
my dad's like, a really good cook too, so
is he?
I love coming home.
What's his go-to? Is he a grill or is he a cook guy?
No, he's a like big recipe guy, so
really
he's one of the ones that asks you what you want, and then he'll cook that for you.
What
so,
is
wow.
so when you at like when you're coming home like
what
dad
are you asking for?
What
so last night it was a staple is risotto of some kind, so he did shrimp and asparagus risotto, which is one of my favorite dishes that he makes for sure. So that was the last night, but he does so many things. It's
Have you
too many to list out?
See, he's a chef.
Yeah,
he's a chef. Because there's I grill and I can cook. And
we've
given shout outs to dads.
Yeah,
you know, a lot
sure.
of times
yeah,
and moms
yeah.
obviously,
yep.
but dads that are passing that along. But has he? What is? Has he
I would say like I'm a pretty decent cook because of him.
Okay.
I would try to help be the sous chef when I was a kid and just help out where I could. I think my passion for cooking is more like you. Grilling.
Yeah.
I like to keep it simple though. I'm as far as like how I eat anyway, it's a lot of like clean foods that doesn't need a lot of preparation necessarily.
Agreed.
But he definitely like if you give him a recipe, it takes 2-3 hours to make it. Sometimes making different sauces and marinades of whatever. It's he's dialed.
Ooh.
He's dialed in the kitchen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually out east for Thanksgiving this year, but
no, I didn't say you were there. I said it was killer at your
it
house.
Is,
it's
it
gotta
is.
Gotta
be.
Yes.
Out of
yes.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always.
Well, so, I still say grilling is still an art form. People
it is.
Think and
it is.
Poor Rikes, he's learning. I get it.
You know,
it's an easy go-to, but
you have a meter.
I don't. I actually prefer the ones that are that have the little cord.
Oh, really?
Because it'll the meter is they overheat.
It is a little fickle. It's sometimes.
They can be.
And so I like the ones that I have one that like plugs in and I can just stick it on a magnet. It's like $20, like super cheap, but it works the same.
Do you smoke anything?
Smoke anything?
Yeah. Like, he means food.
I have a Traeger in Michigan. I don't particularly like to smoke things only because I'm not particularly experienced in it.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you that will elevate.
Yeah,
especially do a turkey.
Oh yeah,
a turkey.
I'm
gonna
tell you right
keep
now.
Yourself all day. All
right. About 4 hours. I did a 20-pound in 4 hours.
Really?
Yes, sir. But there's some processes
to it.
Yeah.
So after the show, I'll give you
little
some
brine and the rest.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you
it's
got.
All about
you,
the
yeah.
breath.
It's all about the brine. Sure, yeah. You got to let it.
I have done it successfully.
Dude.
I think it's. I don't have that Traeger full time.
Okay.
So I just don't take advantage of using it enough to have the experience to want to do it.
The best investment I ever made, or my wife helped me get, I have the 2-in-1. So I've got the Pit Boss, I've got the smoker, and then next to it is the 4-burner.
Okay.
And it's an all-in-1. So it's, and you know, I got the two things going.
I like
I'm telling
that.
You right now, man.
You know which one I have only had a short experience using this, but it's like a Blackstone. It's like the flat top grill.
That's another.
Last year.
Yeah.
You
like
apparently,
it?
Yes. Apparently, that's the way you're supposed to cook steaks.
Right.
It's another.
Exactly.
It's a whole other thing there. Yeah. You're
exactly.
Right.
So you got to clean it before you eat. Like you got to clean it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the your food's all cold by the time you
but
eat.
No, you're
your
right.
Family's
yeah.
all eating. And you got
it'll open up your world to a whole different thing.
Blackstone's the way to
agreed.
Go.
Agreed.
So I think that might be my next purchase for grilling or cooking purposes. But
so the next
honestly for steak because I'm a big steak guy, I use the cast iron. I'm a big cast iron
cooker. Dude, that's
old
school.
So,
old school.
Yeah.
Some butter, garlic.
Get a quick sear and then quick base to finish.
Let's go.
I honestly don't really use a meat thermometer too often for that. I
don't need to.
Just eyeball it.
You can go off touch.
I can touch it. And just, I can honestly mostly go off just how it looks and timing of it. You kind of just know. And I'd rather eat it more rare than
I was going
to
ask you how you do your steaks.
I go for medium rare.
Okay.
If I'm going to err, it's on the side of too rare.
And every
twitchy. I like it twitchy.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah,
I'm a medium guy.
I don't mind it bleeding.
I'm a medium guy. Everybody, it's on Instagram when they just recently did a post. They were all asked, like I think 90% was steak.
Steak.
Which is great. Sure, I mean, I'm like you.
Go ahead.
No, I'm totally with you. I think, if you can't put it on the grill and eat clean that way, then I don't really prefer it. I don't like a lot of extras. So.
Yeah. So I, for the first time, I bought a quarter of a cow. From
that is the best way to go.
From like a really regenerative grass fed farm that is out in Jersey, and just bought like 100 pounds of meat.
What a difference!
Throw it all in the deep freeze
yep.
and then take them out. Thaw them. The quality of the meat is
so different.
So much better.
Agreed.
And then you get like some maybe more unique cuts with it that you can kind of experiment with.
And they're a lot leaner cuts because you're
sure.
not getting it from the store that kind of does
charges by weight for the fat.
A bit, it's a heck of a lot leaner, and there is a different
taste. And for the price point, too, like it's like $10 a pound for all of it. It was like a no-brainer. Because you go to a nice store to get a nice grass-fed steak around here, it's like $30-$40 a pound.
No.
Or it's just too hard to find.
Yeah, it is.
Because
it's
either you're going to Whole Foods or Bristol Farms or the high-end grocery stores that are all charging an arm and a leg to take
it's
it home.
It's not worth
it.
No, it's better to get it. Yeah.
I agree. But to your point, they are leaner, and so the first time I cooked the steaks, I absolutely butchered it. Because
you weren't used to.
I didn't. Well,
it's
I didn't.
Fatty.
I didn't know until I fucked it up. I went back and saw that I was like, "There's a different process to do it." But I had cooked grass fed steaks before, and I didn't. I was like, "Oh, I just cooked."
What's
this
different? Like, I get the shit meat from Winco, so I don't.
They just
not that it's bad. No disrespect to Winco.
No, it's
just it's much leaner, so it cooks much quicker.
Yeah.
So you have to be really attentive to how you're cooking it because you can overcook it very quickly. Which I learned.
It's like pork.
Learned the hard way the first time, but haven't made that mistake again.
Dude, get your tri-tip, put it on the smoker.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I have like a 5-pound brisket that came with it. So that'll be
12 hours for that thing. Nice and low and slow.
I have to figure out a way to try to.
There's some great YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Spots, dude. Yeah. I've learned a lot, but
you can mess.
I love.
That.
I'm getting hungry.
It's definitely
you can mess those up easily.
Yes, though, you can. So no, you got a baby, and that's why the thermometer is so important.
Yes,
100%.
Sure. Yep.
It's not about time. It's about temp.
Yep.
Always.
That's what I've heard.
Always
heard that.
Time and temp.
All right. What's next? Well, before we started, you were saying you've been referencing your wife, but you just got married over the summer, right?
Yeah, in September. Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we got married in Portugal, actually. We were there for 3 weeks. We actually did a reverse. We did a pre-moon before the wedding.
Pre-moon.
Because one of her best friends was getting married the next weekend. So we kind of did it, and we wanted to do a destination wedding. It actually worked out perfectly because kind of as people were coming in to Portugal, they met us somewhere else where we were and kind of made a little vacation out of it themselves. So it was
nice.
It was kind of just like a big trip with all of our closest friends and
perfect.
Family.
Oh,
and
so perfect. I'd love
so
that.
It was zero complaints, and I wouldn't have done anything differently. So
how long have you been together?
Almost 8 years.
What the hell took you so long?
I was playing hockey.
It's a good excuse.
We had to deal with a lot of, you know, long distance relationships.
Oh, because she's New York based.
And she's working and I was working and you know, dealing with that and we were just worked out the way it did and
so you're six months in or so, how's it going?
Yeah. We were actually legally got married in February this year. So because in Portugal, you can't, like the ceremony isn't official.
Mexico's the same way.
Yeah. So we did a small thing. Her parents came into town to visit. And so we did a little, just a little elopement with my parents, her parents, and,
that's cool.
Did the official thing out of California and then did the ceremony, actual like wedding celebration there.
Kids looking like they're going to be in the future soon, or
I'm hoping so.
Yeah,
if we can. Yeah,
nice.
I think
after the show, I can tell you how it works.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know how.
I'm just saying.
I know how.
There's some mechanics.
I don't know. There was a little I'm not sure.
Well, I meant more knock on wood as far as like some people have harder times getting pregnant now.
That's
so I
true.
Just don't want to jinx myself.
No, I get it.
You know, just keep trying though.
Yeah, that's a good way, a good excuse.
It's a great excuse. We tried for a year, my wife and I.
Yeah.
It took a bit. It does.
No, I know.
Yeah.
So I think we'll probably try maybe this summer.
Awesome.
We have some weddings and stuff this summer, so we don't want to try to get pregnant.
Open bar, yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Well, we also just want to travel this summer too and have some fun and not have to worry about my wife being pregnant. And she definitely doesn't want that either. So, not that we have a choice, but we want to try to have a spring baby if we can. So trying in the summer would
hockey, you got to put
right
that time
on,
in, bro.
Right on track, yeah.
You know,
so,
just saying.
I don't know.
Just saying.
We'll see. We hope so. We have two dogs for now, which are plenty of work, and
they are. They're kind of like kids.
Yeah, a little bit. They were both puppies too, so they're kind of getting out of the puppy phase, and it's a little bit easier now. But
so, with all that being said, you're going to start a family. Things are going to move forward. Do you think maybe there's a potential for you to maybe get a residence out here? I know, because we had touched on you getting involved in the community, doing a lot of things. You know a lot of the communities because of mom and dad, grandpa and grandpa. But, you know, is that a potential for you? Maybe have a second home out here, maybe one on the East Coast, because I know she works.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, potentially. So I have my lake house in Michigan, which is
cool.
We're going to kind of try to do it as somewhat of a rental property.
Smart.
And see where that goes. So I think depending on how that house goes and kind of where all of these things kind of fall into place over the next couple of years, I definitely would consider getting another place. Me and my parents have talked about them potentially getting a different place that would maybe have like some kind of like guest wing where it's not as much of like I have to maintain a house here or something like that, or also have some kind of like other rental property where when I come into town, I can use it, and when we're not here,
just rent it out.
You know, I know a great place with rentals on a lake. You'll love it, right? Just right 5 miles that way.
Which one?
Terra Lago.
Terra Lago, okay.
Yeah, all right. Come on, I'm just telling you. I'm just saying.
Well, my mom's a real estate agent, so I tell her she can definitely she can find a place if we're in the market.
Yeah, I know.
That's a long way down the road.
Yeah, I was curious then that tells us, you know, obviously, and I think you will anyway, that we'd probably see in the community more and more, like see at Costco or something, out, you know, getting stuff for the weekend.
Buying Traeger pellets.
Yeah, you'll definitely see me at Whole Foods. Or Bristol Farms. I lived close to the Bristol Farms last year, so
they know you in there when you walk in.
Actually, yes. Well, yeah, a couple of them did, but Whole Foods is definitely, it's closer to my parents' house, so
awesome.
That's where, if you want to try to find me randomly, I'll be at Whole Foods.
There you go, you guys. Now you know.
Out there, Whole Foods is the place to go.
Or Porta Villa. Yeah. That's our.
That's
go-to
the everybody's spot, go-to, right? Yeah. Everybody, the team seems to enjoy that too.
Yeah, we have a good relationship with the owners, and they treat us really well.
Food's pretty good.
Food's great. Yeah. Atmosphere is great.
Good steaks.
I love El Paseo, that area.
Yeah, it's awesome.
As far as like, I'm not a big downtown Palm Springs. It's fine, but I just prefer El Paseo.
Agreed.
It's closer for me, for my parents, and for a lot of the guys. Like, they live in La Quinta, so if we're going to meet up somewhere, it's probably El Paseo.
And there's everything right there. You can walk up and down. Yeah,
they got shops and stuff there, too. So it's a good location. So
it really is.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I loved one of my favorite go-tos is Tommy Bahamas.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you can just sit outside. You can look at the valley. They've great food, great service. I've always enjoyed it. Kitchen 86 is always my go-to as well.
Yeah, yeah. We Jillian's is another one that I like a lot. Know those owners as well, but a nice place you can sit outside on that little
Sullivan's
little
is a
patio.
Nice little
Sullivan's
go,
is
go
nice.
To the bar.
Yeah, I've been to Sullivan's.
Get the bar, the bar option.
Yeah.
So good.
They've got this Philly it must be lunchtime because we're like circling around
the food. Yeah.
Holy cow. But no, I agree. So I love it. I love the fact that, because you feel you're a local guy. And so I think this is the first time we actually sat down with somebody.
With a local.
With like a local. Yeah. We haven't had to bring up too much of those. Well, where do you go to do this?
Like,
and
what
was your experience like? You said you've grown up here.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of good places to go. I think it's pretty underrated, actually.
Yeah.
Some of the restaurants.
Let's let it stay underrated for a while.
I wish crowds. Not that I'm a big bar scene person per se. I just feel like there's not a lot of good places to go out for like some of the younger guys.
Oh yeah.
It's definitely like an older crowd, like
the Nest. You're saying that's not a
good Nest.
That's
no.
For the boys.
That's definitely an older crowd.
they love them there.
Which we do go to the Nest every now and again. But
one of my good friends is a bartender there. You'd see him. He's a tall guy. You'd recognize him immediately, and he's always there. But
I think. And then like El Paseo, all the places close so early.
It's true.
So
I don't know nothing about no bar scene. Like we go to the 12th floor at Fantasy Springs if we want to have a night out because it's close to the house and it's our age group. But burgers and beer, Beer Hunter. Like where does someone go at your?
I don't know.
That's just it.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's what you should look into.
Starting a bar.
Oh, Teddy's Tavern.
There you go.
Might have something.
I'm claiming
the rights to that name, so you know, you got
to
pay up.
Yeah, but you can cater to what you're talking about, a place for the boys to go and maybe a little bit everybody else in that genre.
Yeah. I don't know if I think the rules and regulations though are more the issue, because if you go to Palm Springs, there's bars that stay open.
That's true.
I think it's more El Paseo has the time
the city
ordinance
says,
of like when you have to
shut it down.
Yeah.
We'll find you a spot.
Yeah.
Indio's becoming new.
Kitchen 86 stays open.
It's pretty late.
Like 1 o'clock at least, I think.
I haven't been out there.
I didn't even know they still had 1 o'clock. I've been asleep for 4 hours.
He's a morning guy.
Well, it's more because like we need a place to go after a game. If you want to grab a bite and a couple beers or whatever.
This end of the valley does shut down a little early.
It's a little sleepy.
Del Taco. We go to Del Taco after games. That counts. Is that a thing? No.
Do they sell beers there?
They do not. You have to bring your own. Definitely have to bring your own.
Stuff.
I don't recommend it.
I don't recommend it in general because the next day is pretty bad.
Yeah.
I agree.
There's much better Mexican food out here than Del Taco. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. What's your go-to Mexican?
You know what? What's that place? The Blue Coyote? Or what is that? Is that what it's called?
I'm not familiar
something
with
it's in Palm Springs.
Oh.
It's an old school place that I had been going since I was a kid.
I don't get out there too often to go eat. Usually just to go hang out and do the touristy stuff, walk up and down the main drags.
Mole is a good one on El Paseo.
Okay.
What's that other hole in the wall kind of place in El Paseo? Javier's.
I haven't eaten any Mexican out there yet.
I don't even.
I don't know. I can't remember the name.
I haven't had any Mexican out there yet.
There's a couple. There's a couple good spots. Okay. But Mole is a. It's like a little higher end place. Good margaritas. So, I'm a tequila guy. So okay. Tequila and wine.
Tequila and wine.
But not on the same night.
Sometimes. Oof. Depends on the night.
Oof. That's a headache and a stomachache. I can only pick one.
Yeah, depends what kind of wine you're drinking. If you're drinking shitty wine, you're definitely going to get a hangover.
$2 chuck?
That's that's not good. No. Yeah. No.
Boone's Farm is not the way to go.
If it has a screw top, not so much. No,
if you're playing slap the bag, you're going to definitely get a hangover.
No joke. No, I'm a whiskey guy. You know, that's tequila I can do like when we're in Mexico.
Yeah.
But
I like good tequila though. Same with wine.
Sure.
Because I don't drink like a ton, but when I do, I appreciate the.
It should
good
be
stuff.
Sippable, right?
Yeah. A sipping tequila. Yeah. Yes. It's not. I'm not drinking like tequila sodas. No. 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 Jose. No.
Yeah.
Cazadoras maybe some of the nice little.
Yeah.
Higher end.
Yeah. There's a like a good sipping tequila. Tequila Ocho is a good one that I like. I don't know. I like some higher end.
You might have to start thinking about doing like what The Rock did and start your own brand.
You know what? I'm not a fan of the Terramana one.
Well, you can start your own. But
that's expensive though.
Yeah, it is. It's an investment.
Yeah, definitely.
All right,
maybe I'll have to field some investors.
Right now, Tenequila. I'm just owning. I'm just getting my name. I'm just getting my dibs on all the names.
All marketing guys.
Tenequila. Good job. Solid at the Tenny Tavern.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
It's the only place you can get it.
Only place.
Perfect.
Except for all retailers and
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Only bar you can get it at.
Only bar you can get it.
There you go. I like it.
All right.
Setting me up for my
what I'm talking about.
We're trying, man.
I'm an ideas guy.
We're trying.
Facilitator.
Just trying.
We're trying.
I just want a permanent bar stool for myself.
That's right.
All right.
I just want my own place with a plaque. I think we can sit.
Done.
A booth. I want a booth with a phone.
A booth.
I like it. Not that anyone would talk on it, but in the old days, like in the 80s and the 70s, you knew who was who when these guys had a booth and they had their own phone.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Actually, this reminds me of another restaurant that I really like is Bar Cecil. Have you guys been there?
No. Where's that?
It's almost to Palm Springs. It's kind of like halfway up 111 towards
Bar
Palm Cecil's. Springs.
We've passed it,
I'm
sure.
It's a good spot.
Okay.
It's a good spot if you ever want to stop in there. They got good food, good drinks.
Good atmosphere.
Bar. Yeah.
I like good atmosphere. Really good.
We should go. We should just take a night and go because we always end up at the same places.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, my wife and I were like, oh, let's go to this crazy place over here. Or we could just go to our usual. Let's go to the beach.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Or the Ritz-Carlton. Have you ever been there to eat or have a drink?
Not to eat.
I was there for an event once.
It's a cool spot, though, more than anything.
I take it back.
It kind of looks over. You go up the little hill there.
I have been there.
Yeah, it's a cool spot.
Yeah, they have, during happy hour, a great hamburger.
Yeah. No,
it's really ridiculous. No, you're right. I've gone out.
Yeah, it's a cool spot.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's bougie. You know,
it's bougie,
which
sure.
I like, but it's not arrogant.
But you can just like sit outside on that patio there and get like a casual lunch or whatever.
I love that. Love the view.
And obviously a nice hotel.
Yeah,
so
it's so sick.
It's a nice place to be.
Yeah, I've been out there.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's a good spot too.
Good views.
We're going to go there.
Let's go. When are we going?
Whenever you want, man.
Let's go. He's buying.
Perfect.
Whenever you want.
Yeah.
Love it.
I just called it.
You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go. Is there anything we missed, man? Is there anything else we gotta? Any other subject to touch on? There's, you know,
talked a lot of food.
There's much stuff we could talk about.
There is.
But, you know,
you tell me. I'm open book. If you want to know something,
I think I covered. I did. You know, I think we're good. I'll tell you my last like hockey related question for you is, what are you looking forward to? What are you expecting? What do you think what do you think we should expect to see for the Firebirds for this season? What can we look forward to, do you think?
I'm hoping some development of the younger guys, because that's going to be like the next generation of Firebirds or Seattle players. And I think, you know, like we touched on before, you got to be patient with some of these younger guys that are coming in or stepping into to newer roles. But I'm hoping that you'll see the same kind of evolution of the team, and just relax.
Yeah,
it's a long season.
Like I'm, you know, Firebird faithful. I have all the confidence. Like I'm not worried at all. I'll pace
either
in front of the TV and yell expletives
when
I'm supposed to, but I have not lost faith.
No.
You know what? I'm very confident in the guys in that room. I'm very confident in the coaching staff. They do a great job of preparing and giving the right messages in the room. So I think all the things are being said, and maybe patience is something that everybody has to take, and you know, just wait for those guys to kind of come into their own and get that experience. And I think good things are coming.
And now that you've passed the torch, what do you think you're going to miss the most?
I think just being around in the locker room, you know, that's one of my favorite things is a practice day where, you know, you just come in, you shoot the shit with the guys, and that those are the things where you miss out every day because you yeah. practice more than you play. Mm-hmm. So those days where you come in, grab a coffee, you're chopping it up in the locker room, have breakfast together. It's those little things mm-hmm. Of the days that I'm definitely going to miss, but hopefully being back and being around the guys a little bit more, I can, you know, get that back a little bit.
I think you will.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I think you will.
Yeah.
Rapid fire time?
It is, except I have one question.
Do it. Let's go.
And it's been bothering me since, like, the beginning, and I have yet to ask a question. So since we've had our two players sit in the chair before, how do we get to the nicknames? Since
what do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
I've always wanted to know.
Like,
I mean, they're obvious, but I mean, but I've always kind of curious, like, what would be Dave's nickname and what would be mine? But how do you guys get to... You know, you've
and
got.
What was yours?
I mean,
I don't know what mine. Oh yeah,
mine is Tenny.
Yeah,
just Tenny. That's just
a name abbreviation.
I understand, Tenny, but I mean,
Tenor. I mean, it's kind of just like a natural thing okay. with either your first name or last name.
Yeah.
Or I mean, there's random ones that just get started out of nowhere.
I noticed the IE or the Y or however you want to spell it though is at the end of like usually everybody's name. Like,
yeah, it's some
Truzy,
kind of
Potsy. Yeah, you know, Maxie.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Like Goose is
that's easy.
Like Goose Apple.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just like, I don't know.
Are there any that came up that were just like unrelated?
People call Riker Garth.
Garth.
Middle name.
Yeah. Middle name.
I think that was very random thing that it just. You
someone
know, just,
found out
just,
his middle name.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Yeah.
And then now everybody, I call still call him Garth.
Garth,
so,
really?
Yeah. Pipes is. Yeah. Is an interesting one. I don't know. It's very random, the nicknames. I don't think it's
so mine would just be Kyle. I think that
KG.
Yeah, yeah, that's
there,
true.
That's yeah. So it's
that's
like
actually
that.
Yeah,
KG, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Davey. I don't know.
Dave's. Nicknames that really fit.
Yeah.
You
we'll
know,
come up with
me,
something,
so
man.
Up,
we'll get the boys to get together and
there you go.
We'll get you one.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was my other. I don't know why that stuck, and I just thought I'm gonna ask the question, but
yeah.
I think it was hilarious. Okay, so
all right, let's go. Let's do.
You're somewhat
fire.
Familiar with this.
Am I?
Well,
what?
Yeah.
All right.
On your show, you would
rapid fire.
You would end your show with a set of rapid fire questions for. Well, you
that was pretty much the whole show was rapid fire questions.
That's true. You always had a set base. So
yeah,
I end the show
okay.
with a set of rapid fire questions that, you know, again, I just call them like wiffle ball questions or nothing. But, you know, don't think. Just kind of answer the questions.
Like Rorschach. Just
first
thing that comes to mind.
It's not going to be anything.
Go for
I'm
it.
Not going to have you do long division.
All
right. We kind of touched on this. What's your go-to food at the arena?
Now that you're not fed by the chefs from the
arena. Acrosure.
From like the snack bars and
stuff. Have you had anything?
Haven't had
nothing?
Anything. Nope.
Okay.
Not even a drink.
Interesting. Well,
it was only my first game on Saturday.
And
so
you didn't grab anything.
I was too busy with that.
Doing
and then I had to do the broadcast. I was like, I don't think I want to
have
a
beer. Well, if you find yourself not working
next time,
at a game, find us over at BuzzBox.
Yep.
Okay.
Drinks are on me. Drink.
Drink. Okay.
Shit's expensive.
Yeah.
And
I'm
then
sure
yeah. I'm sure. I would recommend also Shaq's Big Chicken.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a great one. And
okay.
then mine, everyone will catch me. I have the same routine. And usually between periods one and two, I'll go get the popcorn. The kettle corn is
Kettle meat is
all right.
So
kettle
good.
Meat is
yeah.
yeah.
All right.
It is absolutely you can't – like you'll eat the whole bag.
All right.
It's ridiculous.
Good.
Yeah. It's
well, really our chefs put together some pretty good meals.
That's what we hear. That's
room,
what we
so.
– yeah, it's ridiculous. You
I don't know if I'll necessarily be going to the concessions to get anything.
Fair
but,
enough. But if you do.
But if I do,
if you
yes.
do, you know where to go.
They don't have any drinks for us, though.
We
Buzz box.
Come on
so
at the Buzz
I'll
box.
Come
and I think you know where we're located. You've seen us on – you know.
I have seen you guys over there, yes, by the Buzz box. Yeah.
Can't. We're easy to find.
Yeah.
Just look for the orange glasses and the orange suit.
And the orange suit. And
there you go.
Or teal, depending
on
what I'm feeling like.
Yeah.
Or there might be something coming up in the near future.
Perfect.
Looking forward. No spoilers.
Just saying. What's your go-to meal in the Valley? We kind of touched on that, but.
Yeah.
Number one choice.
Yeah.
Number one choice. I have to say Puerto Villa because that was where I ate probably the most last year. Mm-hmm. As far as it's kind of a mix between casual but a little bit more upscale. They have like a wide variety of food.
Food's really good.
They have sushi rolls. They have steak. They have literally everything. So I think
it is lunch.
That's a good one.
Good.
Puerto Villa.
Yeah. Everybody seems to. All the boys seem to like that one too. All right. So when you were playing, or what's on your radio come game day? Yeah. What are you getting amped to? What is it that's getting you juiced? What were you listening to?
I was always a rap guy, you know. I grew up kind of listening to like Eminem and
that's fine.
So I think, you know, rap, as far as like, that's what we kind of listen to in the locker room a lot of times, really? Is rap. I think it's more like the younger culture is more rap focused, whereas before it was kind of like rock and maybe like some EDM, like Avicii style stuff before the games. I have a pretty wide variety of music that I like, but if I really want to get amped up, it's a good beat.
Absolutely.
I don't really care what they're saying. It's right. It's
I'm
more
like,
about
that's kind of where I'm at too. Yeah. Especially if I'm working out, doing something like that. Like that has to be playing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So. It'll get you juiced for sure.
Yeah.
It's awesome. What's a treat yourself day look like for Matt?
Treat yourself. Probably like In-N-Out or something like that. Some kind
strong.
Of burger.
Yeah.
Animal fries.
No, I don't like. I actually hate the fries at In-N-Out. I'm more of the burger. I don't like the way they cook.
Double double.
I don't like the way they cook their fries. Yeah, double double.
Grilled onions.
Two double doubles with everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Do you get it animal style or do you get
just regular extra sauce on the side to?
No grilled onions.
No, just raw.
Awesome.
I like the raw onions. They have a little crunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
No
lettuce though. I don't do lettuce on burgers. That's
a waste. It's like, don't put a salad on my burger.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Are you a DC or an MCU guy?
A what?
How many times am I going to tell you?
It's fine, though, but
it's
okay. Yeah. So DC being Superman, Batman, MCU, obviously, with all the Marvels.
Okay. So somebody asked us that question for, like, the Jumbotron last year. Like, you know when we do, like, the questions
I didn't know that this was my
and somebody said like are you DC or Marvel and I was like I actually don't really watch though like I've never seen
interesting
any of the Marvel movies but then going back after having like thought about it more because that was kind of a rapid fire question when we were filming all of those things the original like Christian Bale Batmans
that's
strong
Batman,
yeah
for sure.
So like all the Batman Begins Dark Knight Dark Knight Rises
series.
Those three movies
job.
Are
Christian Nolan
if we're
did
talking
phenomenal.
Yeah.
So
that's
Heath
DC?
Ledger's Joker. That's DC.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So you're a Batman guy. So that's my next question. Who's your favorite superhero?
Yeah, Batman then, for sure.
Because
he's not like a superhero per se.
He's a guy.
He's more of like an everyday guy. So it can be, it's more relatable than like guys like flying around in a tight suit.
Like Superman. It's kind of like Iron Man, you know.
Batman wears a tight suit too, but.
But for a reason, you know.
It's not spandex either.
Yeah.
Shot.
Yeah.
That's fair. All the gadgets are cool, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, come on, dude.
And he's a billionaire. He's got a sick house, little.
So he's just a regular guy. That's a regular billionaire.
Yeah. Lots of money in
a cave.
That's where I like, I'm a Tony Stark guy because of that same reason.
I like Iron Man.
It's the tech. He's a regular dude, lots of money, charismatic. He's got it kind of going on, but he's got a lot of flaws. And you're like, I can relate.
If I was a billionaire, I'd be like Caribbean guy. That would be my superhero. I'd be like, that's that guy in the beach. That's Caribbean guy. Like, that would be my. He can have more drinks than a single bound or something.
Yeah, I'm with that.
If I was a billionaire,
I like that. Yeah,
awesome. What other profession than hockey, you know, would you have liked to try or done?
I was a business marketing major, so I never graduated college. But if I were to have not ever played hockey, I gotta assume that I would have gone into. Something within that business marketing field. I don't know what.
Like marketing a tavern or maybe your own tequila, something like that.
Potentially, yeah.
Well, we know a guy who's in a marketing company.
Yeah,
we know a guy.
We might put you in contact.
If you know anybody
with.
Who knows how to make their own tequila.
Oh well, we don't know that guy, but we'll find him.
Okay, you find him.
We'll find him.
Give him my number.
Yeah,
there you go.
100%.
Yeah.
Last one. What's your favorite curse word?
Probably just fuck. I use
the easiest one.
Yeah.
Covers a lot of bases.
I mean, I just, it's like, what the fuck? Or, yeah. You know, like that's always a good go-to.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
It can be a noun, a pronoun, an adjective, yeah, an adverb.
You can use it in a lot of different ways. It can mean a lot of different things.
And you can inflect it in so many different ways.
Yeah.
You can draw it out.
You can be happy. You can be sad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. Or, what the fuck are you doing?
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very versatile.
It really is. Mom and dad, I hope you turn the radio down.
We forgot the advisory.
That's right.
No,
that's on them.
They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
There it is.
There you go.
Well, this has
dude,
been.
Thank you so much.
This
man.
Has been amazing. Yeah, been we fun. Always ask our guests, but did you have a good time?
Awesome time.
Would you come back?
100%. Whenever you want me.
Seriously?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Done.
Hey, maybe that might be something in the future if you know we might be
we'll
looking
just get
for
a
another
fourth chair and you just be part of the show.
That would be amazing.
Could be.
Yeah.
No, seriously, this has been a lot of fun for us. And thank you for being last minute.
Of course.
I mean, you say it so carefree, but I mean, for us, this means a lot.
Yeah.
And for our little show.
If I can make it work, it is what it is. Like, I have no problem coming to help you guys out. And
appreciate it.
It wasn't that last minute. Piv gave me a little bit of a heads up for it.
Oh, good.
Well, I'll tell you what, then all the drinks you want are on.
Perfect.
And you definitely have a seat anytime you're in town.
Yeah. Awesome.
We'll have to figure all that out. But no, you've been great and so gracious to, again, sit with us and do this. And I know you got to go, but dude, I really appreciate
anytime.
It.
Seriously,
has been a blast.
Thank you. Safe travels back.
And we got to get a Go Birds from you. Or
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. And relax.
That's and that's a cut.
That was so good.
Yeah.
That was good. So strong.
Well, that was fun. If you're enjoying the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast on YouTube, be sure to drop a comment down below and hit that like button. Also, remember to subscribe and turn on notifications so you never miss out when a new episode drops. The Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is available on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and a whole bunch of other podcast platforms. So however you get your weekly dose of the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast, we invite you to share it across all your socials. And you can follow us on Instagram at Firebirds Fan Zone podcast. And on Facebook, just search, guess what? Firebirds Fan Zone Podcast. The Firebirds Fan Zone Podcast is brought to you by Kyle Garman Realtor. Whether you're buying or selling, whether it's for your forever home or that quiet desert vacation getaway, Kyle Garman and the team at Keller Williams have the experience and skill to make that process simple and convenient. Check them out today at kylegarman.kw.com. Our podcast is also brought to you by DesertDefenseLawyers.com. DUI and criminal defense throughout the Coachella Valley. The criminal justice system is scary and confusing, but relief is just a click away at DesertDefenseLawyers.com. We've been keeping folks out of the penalty box since 2008.